Thank you very much. I hope I'm visible.
Yes, yes.
We praise the name of the living God, and thank you very much, everybody who has been able to tune in.
Amen.
So I was praying and reflecting and thinking and asking the Lord what he would have me discuss with us or share with us this afternoon. And one of the things that seemed to stick out in my mind was the verse that Daniel spoke about when he said, the people who know their God will perform exploits. And so I thought I would just reflect today on what I have called knowing God, following him, and helping others to know and to follow him. I am reading a series of books, The God's Generals, by Robert Liddell, God's Generals. I started with volume one, in which he talked about people like Billy Graham and the Azusa movement, or the reawakening of that time. And then I read the second volume, which talks about the Reformation. And I know that there are other volumes, so there's volume 3, 4, and 5, which I have not read. But I'm currently reading through volume 6, which is the Martyrdom. And as I read, I am intrigued by the cost that people had to pay for us to get, just to get the Word of God, just to get the Bible the way we have it. And sometimes it sounds like the Bible has always been there. And I'm reading about people like John Wycliffe, who literally had to give his life and go and live in hiding until he was forced to die just because he was translating the Bible. I'm reading about William Tyndale. I have been seeing the Tyndale Publishing House, and I didn't even know the background behind Tyndale Publishing, but I'm looking at people like Tyndale, who had to spend nights without food, trying to just write the Bible and just translate the Bible from Latin and make it available for all of us to be able to read it in our own languages or in languages we understand, and at a time when we can be able to understand it. And I am honestly feeling very intrigued as I read, because it is like, wow. Is that what people had to go through? So I continue to reflect on knowing God, and because the question that kept going on through my mind is, do I really know the same God that these people knew? The God that these people knew, the God for whom they were willing to lay down their best, for whom they were willing to lay down their everything. Is this the same God? Do I really know this God? Do I know this God to the level that I'm willing to have my teeth plucked out, my fingernails pulled out live as I watch, to be bound up and set on flames of fire as I watch, to have needles drawn through my body, spears pushed through my body? These are the things that these people had to endure. And is this very disabled may be the wrong word, but she was a woman living with a disability called Perpetua, who believed, she was a servant, she was a house servant, and she saw her mistress believing in the Lord, and she also believed in the Lord. And they decided they were going to kill her for her faith, and they threw her in an arena with a mad cow, or a cow that had been trained to gouge down people and kill them. and she's in that arena, and the cow is bouncing her up and down. Eventually, she doesn't even die. And they decide they are going to try her another time. They try another time, and they do the same thing, and she doesn't die. But she doesn't give up her faith, even when she has lost almost everything that she had. So anyway, I want to turn to this subject of knowing God and share a few thoughts around knowing God. And I will read various scriptures, and you'll excuse me, you'll bear with me, because I'm going to actually kind of meander through the Bible looking for this scripture around knowing God. Let me begin with the scripture in John chapter 17. The book of John chapter 17 and verse 3. But this is the prayer of Jesus Christ. Jesus is about to go to the cross. And these are the words of a dying man. These are the last words of a dying man. People are always keen to say, what was the last thing he said? What did he say? What was his last word just before he died? What was he saying? And these are the words Jesus is speaking before he goes to his death. Let me begin at verse 1, but really what I want is verse 3. He says, after Jesus said, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. And verse 3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. I grew up being told that eternal life, I'll get eternal life when I get to heaven. So here on earth, we live, we may suffer, we may get sickness, we may get challenges, we may be persecuted, we may get pain, we may get, you know, pain, troubles. But somehow that the eternal life is waiting for us in heaven. And that's where we are going to find eternal life. But here Jesus Christ is saying, actually, no. You get eternal life just by knowing him. He says, this is eternal life, that they know you. Not that they will know you, not that they may know you, but the fact that you know the Lord, you have eternal life. Praise the name of the living God.
Amen.
This is eternal life, that they know you.
Mm-hmm.
By knowing him, you have eternal life. You already have the eternal life. And he says that they know you, the only true God. Mm-hmm. Now, there are so many gods out there. Yeah. There are so many gods out there. And I'm reading and I'm saying, I don't believe. Actually, I've already thought that probably it is Asia and Africa that have the most other gods. For some reason, I used to think that the rest of the world has always had only one god. And now I'm realizing that actually the Romans had very, very many gods, which is why Christianity became a threat, and which is why Christians were persecuted, because they seemed to be undermining the Roman gods and trying to edify this other new god. In the name of Jesus, and that unsettled some of the Roman rulers, including the very religious leaders, actually. It's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ himself was eventually crucified. But knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent, is eternal life. So, what does it mean to know God? Knowledge of God comes through various ways. The Bible tells us that even though they did not have the law, even though nobody spoke to them, the words, the knowledge of God was written in their hearts. Somehow, even people who have not confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they know God. They know God through the prophets. Paul, when he went to Ephesus, or was it Athens? And he found them worshiping so many gods, and they had shrines of many gods, and they had this shrine of the unknown God. And Paul began by telling them, yes, your own poets have told you, they have talked about all these other gods, but they have also talked about this one God. And the Bible says that natural intuition, everybody, they have an awareness, they have a knowledge, they have an understanding of God. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Romans, I want to go to Romans chapter 2. As I said, I'll read a number of scriptures here. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Romans 2, verses 12 through 16. This is what the Bible says. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience is also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when the Lord will judge men in secret through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. But also, we get to know the Lord through instruction. Every day we come to church, or every other day, whenever we come to church, every Sunday, when we read the Bible and we do our own Bible study, the Lord reveals himself to us in different ways, speaking into our hearts, telling us and convicting us and educating us and teaching us. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which is one of those that most of us know very well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, then if we want to know God more, what do we need to do? We need to make the scriptures our friend. We need to make the Bible our friend. We need to make the Word of God our go-to place, our reference, our companion. Because through the Word of God, we get to know God. Because guess what, brethren? The Bible is not just written words. The Bible is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God.
Correct.
So the Word is not a thing. The Word is a person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus is a person. Jesus is not a thing. So the Word of God is Jesus Christ. So by knowing Jesus, by reading the Word, by getting to know him, mm-hmm. then you become one with him. And that is why the Lord Jesus said, the Father and I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, my Father and I will come in, and we shall enter and sit down and eat with you. So which means when I read the Word of God enters me, and when I sit down to eat, I'm sitting and with the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus is eating with me. Because the Word of God is working in me. The Word of God is at work in me. And then the Lord also continues to reveal himself to us in dreams. But then, unfortunately, there are people who have brought themselves to a level where if they don't dream a dream or see a vision, then they don't think God is speaking to them. And so many people are looking for the miraculous. Many people are looking for the spectacular. Many people are looking for a special word to come down. But what does the book of Hebrews tell us? If you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, at the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the Bible says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. In these last days, God has spoken to us through the Son. So, brethren, the more we get to know the Son, the more we get to hear the voice of the Lord, the more we get to identify what the Lord is speaking to us. And here is the interesting thing. There is a universal word for the whole world, but there's also a word for you, the individual. Depending on your situation, depending on your circumstance, if you are going through an illness, if you are going through a lack of employment, if you are going through a social disturbance, a relationship challenge, the word that you need is not the word that a person who is going through political upheaval needs. And so there's a word for each one of us as an individual in the season. And that is the reason why God said to Moses, I am who I am. In other words, I become what you are going through.
Amen. Yeah.
I become to everybody what everybody is experiencing. I become to everybody what everybody needs. When they needed water, he became a rock. Mm-hmm. And they struck it and he became water. Mm-hmm. When they needed protection, he became a pillar of fire. And he defended them. When they were hungry, he became manna. Mm-hmm. And they ate.
Right. Right.
Oh, now here is the one that's very difficult for many Christians to take. When they were bitten by snakes and they were dying, he became a brass snake.
Mm-hmm.
He became a brass snake. Mm-hmm. And all they needed to do was to look at the brass snake and they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And many did not, because they didn't want to associate God with a snake, because the snake is associated with the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
But I am who I am. When we get to know God and know what he can do and know who he is and know what he does, then he will do for us that which we need to know and which we need to do, because I am who I am, and I become that which you need to know at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, as I've said, many people concentrate on dreaming, on visioning, on the miraculous. But as the book of Ecclesiastes says, much dreaming without working is not good.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people who are dreaming about a future without COVID. There are many people who are dreaming about a future without political upheaval and challenges. There are many of us who are dreaming about a future without illness or poverty or suffering.
Okay.
But then Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has already come. Mm-hmm. It is in you, that they may know him, the only true God. Praise the name of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
God reveals himself by revelation. In these last days, God is revealing himself to us. And we need to be sensitive to God's revelation. Because the Bible says in the last days, the true sons of God will be made manifest. And I'm sure when he talks about the true sons of God, it also includes the true daughters of God. Because in him there is no male, there is no female.
Amen.
Back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word.
Mm-hmm.
What we should be spending most of our time trying to know is the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? We live in a time where even in the church, you attend church and 3/4 of the teaching is about money.
Mm-hmm.
You attend church and three quarters of the teaching is about how to make you a better you. It's about you, the individual. It's about me, the individual. It's about prosperity. It's about my comfort and my well-being. And the Bible is talking about us setting our eyes on Him, the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm. Let us spend our time looking to God, the author and the finisher. But I'm not discounting the many other ways that God speaks to us. But I'm saying that as we go through these last days, we need to pray for discernment, the gift of discernment.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And even discernment to be able to discern between the true word and exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of word that sounds like the word of God, but it is empty content. It's not focusing on the salvation of the Lord. It doesn't bring the radiance of the Lord. It doesn't point us to Jesus Christ. It doesn't bring Jesus as the Son of the living God who came to die to save us, to sanctify us and set us free.
Mm-hmm.
Again, back to the book of Hebrews, and he says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Brothers and sisters, knowing the Lord, knowing who Jesus is, knowing exactly what Jesus represents. I think, unfortunately, sometimes we have been presented Jesus as this little baby in a manger. Sometimes we've been presented Jesus as a weak lamb. But right now, he is the Lamb of God, being sacrificed, taking away the sins of the world. But when he comes, he will not come as a lamb. He will come as the lion.
Amen.
The lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of Israel.
That's right. What a voice. Amen.
Right now, we have a lamb. But the king is coming.
Amen.
To rule as a lion.
Amen.
And then there is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us, Jesus, when Jesus was living in the book of John, he said, it is for your good that I go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. But when I go, the Comforter will come. When he comes, he will teach you new things. Not only will he teach us, but he will also reveal to us new things. But here is the challenge. We have Jesus Christ. We are born again. They laid hands on us and we made the prayer of confession. We got the Holy Spirit. We got Spirit baptized in the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. We perform miracles. We do everything. So we have the Holy Spirit. And then we have the Word of God, the written Word of God. But still there is as much ignorance in us of this God as you can imagine. So the question is, what is not adding up? Why is it that the world today, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, with the Word of God written and being, you know, given on television, on the internet, everywhere, all around us, there still remains a lot of ignorance about the things of God? And it's a question I struggle with. But then it takes me back to the prayer of our brother Paul. If you turn with me to the book of Philippians. And I'm sorry, I told you I'll be moving over, you know, back and forth in the Bible because I want us to look at what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 3.
3? Okay.
Um, Let me read verse 10. I could have gone through other verses, but let me read from verse 10. Where Paul says, I want to know Christ. Now, I'm intrigued. If Paul is saying he wants to know Christ, the man who wrote nearly, what, 30, more than 30%, almost 40, 50% of the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 10, Philippians says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. There are many of us who know Christ, or we know about Christ, but people don't know about the power of his resurrection. And I'm reading about these God's generals, and I'm saying these people knew about the power of resurrection. I read about one believer as he walked into the fire. He turned to the believers who were around him, cheering him and encouraging him. And they said to him, tonight you'll be with the Lord. And he's smiling and going into the fire and saying, hallelujah, see you there, brethren. Mm-hmm. And I'm mm-hmm. saying, well, these people knew their God.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the power of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. They knew that it all doesn't end here. It doesn't stop here.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I'm suffering here on earth, simply because I'm going through what I'm going through, simply because I don't seem to be succeeding the way the world wants me to succeed according to the eyes of the world, does not mean the mm-hmm. end of me has come.
Mm-hmm.
The power of his resurrection. And he goes on to say, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Now that is the one that many of us do not want to be part of.
Right.
The fellowship of sharing in his suffering.
Suffering, yeah.
When you go through suffering, people are looking for all sorts of reasons to blame you. Maybe you are not praying enough. Maybe you are not fasting enough. Maybe you are not giving your tithe. Maybe you don't give your first fruit. Maybe you are not good enough. Da, 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 da. You're not praying enough. You're not enough. And yet the Bible says the fellowship of his suffering, sharing in his suffering. It is all part of knowing the Lord. So which Lord do we know and how much of him do we know? And I'm praying and saying, Lord, help me to know you and to know you more.
Amen.
Now here is the interesting thing. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 27. 1 John, the letter of John, 1:27 says,
1 John 1:27.
Let me start from 26. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. The anointing in us, the anointing in you teaches you, the anointing of God teaches us. So each one of us, every time that anointing is working on us, but guess what? People think the anointing is for working miracles. The anointing is for slaying people. The anointing is for scaring others. The anointing is given to us for teaching us that we may know him. The primary work of the anointing of God is to teach us to know him and to know him more, that we may be able to serve him and love him. Let me kind of move on here a little bit. Why is it important to know God? Why? Why am I even laboring with this subject? Somebody will ask me and say, well, are you saying we don't know God? No, I know we know God. I know we believe in him. I know we love him. And I know we do. But this, I'm sharing with you my own journey, my own convictions as the Spirit continues to talk to me. The question is, do I know this God? The God that these people knew, that they were willing to lay down their lives for him. Do I know him the way he wants me to know him?
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 8, verse 32, says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Knowing God sets us free.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And all those who worship him must worship him in truth. Mm-hmm. So God is truth. So if we know God, then we know the truth. Mm-hmm. Then we are set free. But guess what? Today you still hear Christians saying, "Oh Lord, set me free. Set me free, Lord." And the Lord says, you have the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. Mm-hmm. If you know the truth that your sins were forgiven, mm-hmm. then you don't need anybody again to be telling you that you need to pay money for your sins to be forgiven. Because you know the truth. The truth is that your sins were forgiven. Mm-hmm. If you know the truth that your sons and daughters of God, then the truth sets you free. You're not bound. I have struggles with people who tell people, "Oh my God, you're being followed by generational curses, generational sins of your great, great, great grandfathers and grandmothers." And I'm saying, those were their responsibilities. Mine ended with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ set me free. Bible says you know the truth and the truth sets you free. You're free. And when the Son of Man sets you free, you're free indeed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't set you free in quarters and says, "Now I'll set you free in 10% this year. And then next year you'll pray harder and I'll set you free 5%. Then the other year you'll pray and fast for 100 days and I'll set you free another 6%. When the Son of Man sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus freed me. Jesus set me free. But because people don't know the truth, they are deceived. Mm-hmm. They are manipulated to believe that they can only go to the pastor and the pastor lays hands and prays a special prayer which sets them free. It's not the prayer of the pastor which sets you free. It is not the truth that sets you free. Praise the name of the living God.
Amen.
It's not the truth. The truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. What does the truth say? And who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. And by knowing the truth is God. And by knowing Jesus, by knowing God, you have eternal life.
Amen.
Hey, brethren, praise the name of the living God. We have eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
You have eternal life. Say amen to me back there. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Yes.
We have eternal life.
Amen.
Because knowing God is eternal life. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to get eternal life. I have eternal life.
Amen. Correct. Correct. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Right here,
amen.
Right now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Why is it important to know the truth so that we can lead others to Him? Mm-hmm. You can only lead people to what you know. Mm-hmm. You can't lead people beyond where you know. Because what you know, that's where you bring people to. And the more we know the truth, the more we can lead people to the truth. Now, if we do not know the truth, we cannot lead others to the truth.
Right.
So let us continue to pray and to dig the word of God and know the Lord so that we can lead others to know Him.
Amen.
Andrew. Was it Andrew or Philip who told his brother, Nathanael, say, "We have found the Messiah. Come, we have found Him. We have found the Messiah, come." We've located Him. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know what you are looking for, you can't locate it.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they were looking for. They knew who they were looking for. And when they saw Him, they recognized Him. They mm-hmm. knew it was Him.
Mm-hmm.
The woman at the well, to whom the Lord said, "Go and bring your husband."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Forget it. Don't even send me for my husband. Because which one do I bring? I have five. Do I bring mm-hmm. the very first one? Do I want to bring the one I wedded in the church? The one I wedded in the mosque? Or the one I wedded in the synagogue? Or the one I wedded in the park? Which one do I bring?" Jesus says to her, "You've told the truth. Because even the one you have not yet wedded him. And it's not even yours." And the woman runs, and what does she say? She says to the people, "Come and see, because I have found the man." When we know the Lord, then we can bring people to know that same Lord. Then we can share with people to come and know that Lord. Then we will have a fire in us burning to say, We need to reach out and share the word of God. We need to reach out and preach. We need to reach out and tell others about this, because what we know is too much for us to contain. We cannot contain it on our own. We need to share it with others. We need to know the Lord so that we can build our own faith in Him and enjoy Him. We need to know the Lord so that we can build our faith in Him and enjoy Him. There are many people who don't enjoy the Lord. They are living Christianity like it's a punishment. It's as though, yeah, what do? We are in this thing. We have to continue holding on. And they are not enjoying the Lord. And I'm saying, God, help me to enjoy you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to know God and you get to know how He works and you get to know who He is, you begin to enjoy Him. When you are going through the valley of the shadow of death because you know Him, then you know, even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, He is right there with me because you know Him. Even when there is a table prepared and your enemies are around you, then you can say, He prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. Mm-hmm. Then you can sit down and enjoy your food with your enemies around you because you know Him.
Amen.
When you know He has promised, He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. Even when times get dark and difficult, He has promised. That is who He is.
Mm-hmm.
But many times we forget, and then we miss enjoying our fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me conclude by looking at this woman that I've talked about. This story of the woman in John chapter 4, verses 1 to 28. It's a long passage. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I'm going to give a few reflections on that woman. The woman comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and her whole life is transformed. But the first thing that had to be transformed is her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She had to bring herself to a situation. Let me be a little bad-minded here and say, I don't know whether when this woman saw the Lord Jesus Christ, she was seeing a potential customer. Maybe she was seeing a potential suitor, another number 6 or number 7. And she's waiting for him to say the right word. And the man says, give me some water to drink. And she gets in the conversation and says, well, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan and I'm not supposed to even be talking to you. I'm not supposed to be giving you any water to drink. Let's look at verse 9. John chapter 4, verse 9. Let me pick it up at verse 9. And again, as I said, I'll just be mentioning a few things here and there. In verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew, there it is. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
Amen.
The first thing that had to change in this woman's is her knowledge and her attitude. And many of us are struggling with knowledge and attitude. And what a time in America. I don't need to be telling anybody the challenges of attitude and knowledge that are happening in the United States of America right now. They are out there for the whole world to see on television and on the internet. But in our knowledge of God and people, there is need to go beyond culture and physical identity. This woman had to go beyond physical and cultural identity.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you go to church And everybody goes to church and comes away completely untouched, unchanged. Somebody has said, the most racist hour in the United States of America is 10 to 11 or 11, in between 10 and 12. When everybody gravitates more towards their cultural comfort. And even when we come together like this, we still maintain our cultural identities. We may call them accents, we may call them whatever, sweeten them or call them other things. But when we come to the Lord Jesus, can we lay them at the cross? Does our knowledge of Jesus Christ go beyond my gender? Does my knowledge of Jesus Christ go beyond my cultural identity? Does my knowledge of Jesus Christ go beyond my imaginations? Does my knowledge of Jesus Christ go beyond my comfort, whether it relates to your wealth or to that which makes you comfortable? This woman's attitude and knowledge had to change. The second thing, the woman looks at the economic stand of Jesus and kind of despises the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. It says, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water from?" "Sir, you are not even educated. Why do you think you can even speak to me the word of God?" "Sir, you even have an accent. You come from Africa. How can you think you can even tell me about the Lord Jesus?"
Right.
"Madam, you yourself, look at the car you're driving. It is not even good. It's falling apart. I'm driving a better car than you. How can you even tell me you can tell me about the goodness of the Lord?"
Mm-hmm.
"Okay, if God is good to you, then why doesn't he heal you completely? You're still struggling and you're telling me God is good."
Mm-hmm.
"Look at you. You don't even have a good business." "I have a business. I have a name. I have an identity. I am this." May the Lord grant us the grace not to miss the blessings and opportunities that the Lord puts before us because they are not dressed in a manner we expect.
Mm-hmm.
May we go beyond economic understanding of people. May we go beyond economic interpretations of situations and circumstances. May we go beyond our physical understanding of who God is and what God can do.
Amen.
And realize that even though this man of God was walking on foot and doesn't even have anything to draw water from the well, he's actually the gift of God himself. He's actually the source of the water. He's the source of the joy, the source of the peace, the source of the goodness and comfort which this woman was looking for. We need to look beyond earthly possessions. We need to look beyond the things of this world. And then this woman had to know the Lord beyond. She had to know the social standing of the Lord. In her opinion, the Lord's social standing was too low for her. Look at verse 12. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" According to the social standing, are you greater than XYZ? Are you greater than so and so? Simply because they are great in social standing does not mean they are close to the Lord.
That's right.
People may not be so strong in their social standing, and yet they know the Lord the most. Let me say this, and I'm going to say this, and with all due respect, there are many people let me talk about I'm an African and I'm a black person in this country, and I was the other day I was thinking and wondering and saying, why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much pain? Why are the Africans, when the police want somebody to shoot, it is the blacks who are easy to eliminate, and just somebody just shoots somebody like they have no life. And it pained me. And then I'm crying to the Lord, and we are praying with my wife, and we are saying, Lord, and we're asking each other, but why? And then somehow we listen to a preacher, and the preacher is talking about something different, but the Lord kind of gives it to us as an answer. Many times, the devil will not attack you if you have nothing of value.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No. But if the devil is attacking you, there is a value he sees in you, and it is that value he wants to pull down and destroy.
I understand, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So may our pain and suffering draw us closer to God, because there is value in there.
Amen.
And my prayer is that to each one of us, as we go through these very turbulent times in the United States of America, whatever comes out, whether it's just the pandemic or the economic situation or the civil unrest, whatever it is, that we shall realize that as Christians, there is value in us of knowing Christ, of knowing who he is. That's why Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. May the Lord help us to be salt and to be light in a world that is darkened and in a world where there is no thirst. Okay, I said I was concluding, and I want to conclude. This woman's knowledge and attitude and knowledge of Jesus Christ had to change. In verse 15, she needed to look beyond her immediate personal benefit and look at the greater work of God. Sometimes we are so preoccupied by our own benefit. What am I benefiting out of this situation? And we forget the fact that sometimes God puts us in situations not to benefit us, but to benefit others.
Correct.
I don't always have to be benefiting from you to relate with you.
Amen.
You can be benefiting from me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be benefiting me for me to relate with you. But guess what the world has taught us?
Right.
And even you even hear this taught in church. People saying, if I look at you and I realize there is nothing for me to benefit from you, I cut you off. Who tells you that there are people from whom you cannot benefit?
Right.
Even somebody just sitting there and being there and praying with you and sitting and looking at you, they are benefiting you. Just knowing that there are brethren out there who pray for me is a benefit to me. But look at verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't be thirsty again. So that I don't have to keep coming here to draw water. The woman is just looking at her immediate need. She's looking at her personal need. And guess what? Today, people go to church for their personal needs.
Mm-hmm.
They give seed so that their personal needs can be fixed. Microwave Christianity.
Yeah.
I gave a seed, I planted a seed, I give a seed. And the people even have calculated numbers. According to Genesis chapter 77, whatever verse this verse bring, and then your seed, your blessings will be multiplied 77 times. And I'm saying, okay. Wow. Praise the name of the living God. We need to know the Lord beyond our immediate personal benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Our knowledge of the Lord should go beyond our immediate personal benefit.
Amen.
The knowledge of the Lord, our knowledge of the Lord should bring spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19, this woman, when this woman's eyes are opened and she knows the Lord, then she gets spiritual awakening. She says, after the Lord says to her, in fact, you have five husbands and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is true. Then her eyes begin to open. Verse 19, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. All of a sudden, her eyes are opened and she knows the Lord as a prophet. She sees the Lord beyond providing food, beyond providing water, beyond providing earthly things. And she realizes, oh my God, I'm talking to a prophet. There's a spiritual awakening that hits her, that comes to her. May the Lord grant us that our knowledge of him brings us spiritual awakening and helps us to realize and to know him beyond our physical identity, our cultural identity, our knowledge, our background, that we may get to know the Lord for who he is, not for what he does, but for who he is. Praise the name of the living God. She got to know him as a prophet, not as a giver, not as a source of things, but as a prophet. She got to know him as the bearer of the word of God, and she got to know him as the Messiah, the word of God. Look at verse 25 and 26. Her knowledge is now getting completely transformed. Her knowledge of the Lord is completely getting transformed. Look at verse 25 and verse 26. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared to her, I who speak to you, I am he. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now her knowledge has even graduated. It has been increased. It has been enhanced from knowing him just as a prophet now to knowing him as the Messiah. And the moment she got to know Jesus Christ as the Messiah,
Amen.
He could never remain the same. The moment she knew that I am now talking to the Messiah, not just an ordinary person. Her whole being was transformed. Her whole life was transformed. Her whole experience was transformed. Look at verse 28. Oh my God, what a transformation. Then leaving her water jar, leaving her water jar. She came to collect water, or shall I say water? Then I sound American enough. She came to collect water, and then does not even remember what she came for. She does not even remember she came for water, leaving her water jar there. The woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Wow. What a transformation. This is knowledge transformation. When we know the Lord, we shall leave the things that are disturbing us. We shall leave the things that are preoccupying us. We shall leave the things that are taking our time. We shall leave the things that are stealing away our time. We shall leave the things that are making it difficult for us. And we shall go to share with others the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because people, this is what the world needs today. This is who the world needs today.
Amen.
And then, that's what the woman knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, what did the Lord Jesus Christ know about the woman?
Mm-hmm.
In this story, Jesus knew that Samaritans and Jews were all children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Lost. And all they needed was the love of God, was the gift of God. He did not talk down to this woman. He did not pull her down. He knew what this woman's challenges were. He knew this woman was, I could use the word, prostitute. He knew this woman had lived all over the place. She did not measure up. But that did not prevent our Lord Jesus Christ from reaching out to her and loving her and embracing her and giving her that love. Praise the name of the living God. God reaches out to me, to you, to everybody, irrespective of who we are and our backgrounds. What we are does not prevent him from reaching out to us.
Amen.
Jesus knew the woman's physical and social and economic cultural state.
Amen.
But he also knew that those did not define her spirituality and relationship with God.
Amen.
Praise the name of the living God.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ knew that the woman needed something greater. And the Lord knew that he's the one who had the answer. That's why he said to her, if you knew whom you are talking to, or who is talking to you, or who is asking you for a drink. So Jesus knows everything about us.
Amen.
And he reaches out to us.
Amen.
But then Jesus knew something also more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew that if he succeeded with this one woman, he would get the whole city. One woman. You know, Jesus did not need to go walking around the entire city calling them to come. No. This one woman.
Correct.
Jesus knew if he succeeded with Paul, he would have the New Testament. Jesus had only 12 disciples. Barely unlearned men except for one or two. They turned the world upside down or the right side up. Jesus saw an opportunity to accomplish his mission. May God help us to see the opportunities to share his love and word, to encourage and build people. Amen. Those are the things that I'm praying and saying, Lord, may you help us that we may not miss those opportunities. Let me finish with these thoughts. And I could go on and on, but I'll not go on. He says, look a little bit. Let me finish by looking at the disciples.
Okay.
They had gone into town to look for food when this situation is happening. They come back in verse 7. And in verse 7, they are looking at physical needs. And they're saying, maybe somebody brought him food. Maybe somebody brought him something to drink, to eat when we were there. And I'm sure they were looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows what they were thinking themselves in their minds. Maybe they were asking, is the Lord playing us tricks? We go away and he starts talking to this woman. I don't know. I mean, I'm only thinking. But in verse 7, it says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? But verse 8, his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The disciples were preoccupied with the physical. Yes, the physical is important. Yes, let us go and work. Let's go and make money. Let us go and build our 401k. Let us build our savings and whatever. But let's not be so preoccupied with the physical that we forget that there are spiritual challenges that the world is dealing with.
Amen.
The things that are happening in DC or in America now are not just physical. There's a spiritual dimension to these challenges. And a lot of this we shall win and change on our knees, not by going and ransacking the capital.
Correct. That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 27 and 33, I'm finishing as I said.
Okay.
But verse 27 says, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. No one asked, what do you want? Oh, why are you talking with her? They came back. They see their master talking to a strange woman. He's a Samaritan. And you can imagine, they don't even have the courage to ask the Lord and say, what are you doing here?
Right.
But they certainly had their own thoughts and ideas. Look at verse 33. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Did this woman bring him food when we were away? Because Jesus is telling them, no, I have something else to eat that you don't know. But when we get to know the Lord, our knowledge of the Lord will take us beyond suspicion. There's a lot of suspicion in the church. Marriages are breaking today because of suspicion. Everybody is suspecting the other. Nobody trusts the other. Everybody thinks the other is working against them. Nobody thinks the other is working for their good. The disciples needed to go beyond suspicion and begin to look at the Lord for who he is.
Amen.
Did they even recognize who this woman was? They were more preoccupied with what was happening than to the woman. The woman had a testimony that brought people to Jesus Christ. Our knowledge of Jesus Christ will give us a testimony, and the testimony will bring people to the Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the living God, thank you very much for listening.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to ask my dear wife here to pray for us.
Amen.
as we bring this to a closure.
Amen.
Precious Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for encouragement.
Yes.
Thank you for lifting our souls up. We bless your name that you've spoken to our hearts, Lord. We want to ask you that you may grow us further and further in the knowledge of you.
Yes.
May you bless our souls, may you bless our hearts, O God, to continue searching in your word. Give us the understanding, O Father, to perceive that you want us to learn at such a time, especially when we are going through very hard times and the future seems to be dark. But we want to say thank you that you've given us the light in our hearts that shines and that never departs. Thank you that we have learned that we have eternal life. May you continue to reign in our hearts, O God. Be glorified and bless us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.